Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to refuah shlema, complete recovery for Sharon Katz, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba. There are two different aspects of this week's parasha, this week's Torah portion, that we want to discuss on the program this week, because they bring up very important Jewish concepts. This week's parasha is Parashat Bo, and we want to discuss the concept of Jewish justice, and we want to discuss the concept of the requirement that all Jews live in Israel, that all Jews make Aliyah. And those two subjects are both front and center in this week's parasha. Because in this week's parasha, we see that Hashem, God, kills all the firstborn of Egypt. And we also see that Hashem kills 80% of the Hebrews that were in Egypt. 80% of the Hebrews in Egypt died in the plague of darkness because they refused to make Aliyah. They didn't want to go to Israel. So those are the two subjects we want to discuss. The need to go to Israel and the concept of Jewish justice. First of all, the concept of Jewish justice. In Judaism, we have something called midah keneged midah, measure for measure, where what you do is how you're going to be judged. Actions speak louder than words. Your intentions, you could claim you had good intentions or you had all the great intentions of the world, but if your actions are evil or if you don't do what you're supposed to do, and if you don't take action when you're supposed to, or if you don't avoid taking action when you're supposed to avoid doing something, that is what you're going to be judged by. Actions speak louder than words. And so the Jewish concept of justice is one in which we are judged measure for measure against all the things that we've done in this world, the good things and the bad things. And so we see in Egypt what happened to the Egyptian firstborn. The 10th plague, we have Eser Makot Mitzrayim, the 10 plagues of Egypt. And the 10th plague is the plague of the firstborn in Egypt being killed. All the firstborn in Egypt were killed. And the reason they were killed is because, first of all, is because it's simple justice. It's nekama, it's revenge. And in Judaism, revenge, appropriate revenge, there is appropriate revenge and there's inappropriate revenge, but appropriate revenge is a commandment. We're required to get revenge against evil people that do terrible things to righteous people. We're required to get revenge. And Hashem sets that example in Egypt. The Egyptians murdered the Hebrew firstborn. Pharaoh ordered that the Hebrew firstborn be slaughtered. And so the Egyptian firstborn now are killed in retaliation. They're killed in the 10th plague. And we see this concept play out over and over again throughout the Tanakh, throughout the Bible, and throughout Jewish history. Haman in Persia wanted to exterminate the Jewish people. He was the Hitler of Persia. And in the time of Purim, the holiday of Purim, we learn that we read about how Haman proposed exterminating the entire Jewish people. Haman and over 70,000 of his Nazi followers were slaughtered by the Jews in those days. Mordechai and the Jews in those days, who were normal people, it was a generation of normal Jews, killed over 70,000, even though they had not yet done anything to the Jews. They had not yet carried out any of their plans to exterminate the Jews. But the mere fact that they threatened to do it, the mere fact that they intended to do it, the mere fact that they wanted to do it, caused the Jews to go out and slaughter them, and it's praised in the Bible, and it's praised in Megillat Esther, in the book of Esther, in the Bible, as it's praised as very noble. And Mordechai is the big hero of the story. Mordechai, who led the slaughter of these Nazis, he's praised as a big hero. So, in Judaism, not only are we required to get revenge against our enemies and exterminate our enemies who want to exterminate us, not only are we required to carry out midah keneged midah, measure for measure, against those who want to do harm to us, even if they have not yet done it, even if they just are planning to do it, intend to do it, have the intention of doing it, we're obligated to take preemptive action against them. That's what the story of Purim is. That's what happened in the story of Purim. Haman and over 70,000 of his evil followers were slaughtered. And we see the same thing play out with the Egyptian army. The Egyptian army, in the story of Pesach, chases after and pursues the Hebrews near the Red Sea. They wanted to exterminate them in the Red Sea. They come with their chariots, and Pharaoh is leading them, and they intended to exterminate the Jews. They had not yet touched a single Jew. They were charging after them, but their intent was clearly to murder all the Jews. And before they could do anything to the Jews, they were killed. They were all killed. So even if someone has evil intent, and even if someone is a Nazi who has not yet done anything physically, has not yet carried out their plans, there is no question as to what our commandments are, what our obligations are. Our obligations are to act toward them as an enemy and to take appropriate action against them. That's what the Torah commands. And the same thing is true as far as Amalek. Amalek is a nation that wanted to exterminate the Jews, that wanted to do terrible things to the Jews. And the Jews are commanded to exterminate Amalek completely, entirely. They wanted to exterminate the Jews completely, and Hashem commands that the Jews exterminate them entirely, Amalek. The Vilna Gaon, who is probably the greatest Torah scholar for the past several hundred years, the Vilna Gaon, and Harav Kook, who was another great Torah scholar, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel, and many other leading rabbis, have taught us over the years that any enemies of the Jewish people are to be considered Amalek, even though the nation of Amalek physically probably doesn't exist anymore, physically, genetically, racially. But the concept of Amalek is not a racial concept. It's not a genetic concept, solely a genetic concept. It's a concept that is based also on a Nazi mentality and intent to exterminate the Jewish people, and anyone of any race who wants to commit this Nazi act, who wants to exterminate the Jewish people, they deserve to have done to them what they want to do to the Jews. And so we're commanded to make war against Amalek and destroy Amalek. In every generation, we're commanded to do this until the end of days. In the end of days, they're going to be completely exterminated when the Mashiach comes, when the Messiah comes. So the Jewish view of justice is not to sign agreements with them and shake hands with them the way Benjamin Netanyahu and the prime ministers of Israel have done with the Oslo agreements and all the other agreements they've made and have negotiations with them. Netanyahu sends them billions of dollars in aid, gives them free electricity, free water, free medicine, free food, free housing, free hospital care, free schools for their children, everything paid for by Israeli taxpayers, and they are working to exterminate the Jewish people. This is the antithesis. It is the opposite of what a Jewish leader is supposed to do. Netanyahu is the antithesis. He's the opposite of what a Jew is supposed to be and what a Jew is supposed to do. In fact, in the Israel of today, we see the opposite of Jewish justice. We see complete injustice. And we're taught, the rabbis teach us, he who is merciful to the cruel will in the end be cruel to the merciful. And we've seen that play out in history over and over again. All the bleeding heart leftists who are so worried about the rights of Arab terrorists and the rights of murderers and rapists and monsters throughout history have no pity for their victims. If you're merciful to the cruel, in the end you're going to be cruel to the merciful. You're not allowed to be merciful to the cruel. And so in Israel today, we have the opposite of what you're supposed to have. In Israel today, there's no death penalty for Muslim terrorists that have slaughtered tens of thousands of Jews since the founding of the State of Israel. No death penalty for them. In Israel today, thousands of Muslim mass murderers are released from prisons as gestures, and most of them were released under Likud governments, the phony right governments. Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud and the phony right have released the vast majority of the thousands of convicted Muslim terrorist murderers who have been let out of Israeli prisons as gestures or as exchanges. Sometimes they release live Muslim terrorist mass murderers just to get the bodies of Israeli soldiers back. I mean, this is just so sick, it's beyond description. And Netanyahu is the biggest offender of all the prime ministers of Israel, the worst offender in this. He's released the most terrorist mass murderers and has done the worst damage in this area. There's no expulsion of the Arab Nazi enemy. The Arab Nazi enemy and enemies of the Jewish people are supposed to be immediately expelled from the land of Israel. That's what the Jews were commanded to do under Yehoshua. Joshua, who was the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moses, when he went into the land, Hashem commanded him to exterminate anyone who refuses to leave. Either they leave or they die. But everybody has to be offered the option. The seven nations of Canaan, they have to be offered the option that if they're not willing to leave voluntarily, they're going to be killed. And all of them will be killed. And the Girgashim was one of the nations did accept the offer, and they didn't go to war, and they resettled in Africa. They left and went to Africa and resettled there. But the other nations refused to, and so the Jews were commanded to go in and make war against them and conquer the land and make war against these evil people. People in the land of Israel who are enemies of the Jewish people are not allowed to live there. They're not allowed to stay there. And the fact that we have no expulsion, and that we actually keep them there and subsidize them and give them more rights than we give Jewish citizens, this is an obscenity and a complete miscarriage of justice and goes against everything Judaism stands for. And we saw governments in Israel invite the Arab Hitler, Yasser Arafat, who was responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent Jews, and invite tens of thousands of armed Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists into the land of Israel. This was in the Oslo agreements. And Netanyahu continued these policies with the Y agreements. Not only do we have millions of Arabs who hate us living in Israel against what the Torah commands us to do, but the Israeli government invited tens of thousands of additional armed Arab terrorists to come into the land. And the armed Arab terrorists were supposed to guard us from other Arab terrorists. This was the plan. I mean, it was so insane. And hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from the third world, many of whom are Muslim Jew haters, and the third world people in general are filled with jealousy and hatred toward the Jewish people. When they come to the beautiful modern state of Israel, they're filled with jealousy and hatred. And they're invited into the country. They're allowed to stay there, these illegal aliens. I'm the only one who's not allowed to go to Israel. Chaim ben Pesach is not allowed to go, not even allowed to visit. Arab terrorists are allowed. Mass murderers are allowed. Illegal aliens are allowed. They're all welcome. They're all invited in. They have all the rights. The Supreme Court of Israel says they have rights. Everybody says they have rights. Chaim ben Pesach is not allowed to even set foot there. Is this justice? Is this what the God of Israel wants us or commands us to do? Of course not. Of course not. It's a terrible injustice. And so right now we have the opposite of what Jewish justice demands. And that's why we support Moshe Feiglin of the Zehut Party, because he does want to change these policies. He's not a Kahanist. He doesn't go as far as we would like to go. But and we have differences of opinion on him on certain issues. But he is an honest, strong leader, and he is a God-fearing Jew, a Torah Jew, and he will carry out many policies that are essential to making things better in Israel. He's also, by the way, the one Knesset member, the one member of the Israeli parliament that the minute he heard about my case, he has been fighting to get me into Israel, has been fighting and taking up my case. He personally delivered my letter to the interior minister and personally has been fighting for my case. But of course, they're not going to let me into Israel of anything I've done, because of what I say. Because they're afraid that what you're hearing now from me, if I go to Israel, then I'm going to convince Israeli Jews to go along with this and throw them out of power and replace them. That's what they're concerned about. So we need to have a world of justice, a world of true justice. The so-called chief rabbi of Israel, Yitzhak Yosef from the Shas party, said that he's against the death penalty for Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists. Arab Nazi terrorist mass murderers should not get the death penalty. He's against the death penalty for them. But he says that the Jewish fighters from Tag Mechir, from Price Tag, an organization, underground organization that fights against Arab terrorists and that fights for the Jewish people, he says they deserve the death penalty. He didn't say they should get the death penalty, but he said, because it would look, really, if he said they should get the death penalty but the Arab terrorists shouldn't, it would really look bad. But he said, he kept repeating, they deserve the death penalty. Magia lo onish mavet. He deserves the death penalty, he kept saying in his speech. I mean, and this is supposed to be the chief, so-called chief rabbi of Israel from Shas, which is a corrupt, evil party. This is what we're fighting against in Israel. This is the establishment we're fighting against, the distorters of Judaism, the false prophets, evil people who represent the opposite of what we're supposed to stand for. The opposite of a chosen nation and a light unto the nations and a nation of priests, which is what our destiny is supposed to be. By the way, I just cut a Hebrew video against him. We're going after him. I've done so many videos against Shas. Are they upset with me? And they're going down in the polls really badly. And tens of thousands of their followers have been going to my videos. And I do think it's been hurting them. At one time, they had 17 seats in the Israeli Knesset, in the Israeli parliament. They're 120 seats in the Knesset. There's only one. It's not like Congress. We have two houses of Congress. You only have one House of Congress there. It's unicameral. You only have one House of Congress there, or one parliament there with 120 seats. That's the Israeli parliament. And 17 out of the 120 members of the Knesset were from the Shas party. 17 out of 120. I mean, that's almost 15% of the Knesset members were from Shas. So they were a big party. Now, according to the polls, they're barely getting 4 seats. And if they go under 4 seats, they won't. That's the minimum threshold. They won't have Knesset representation at all. And boy, have I been giving it to them. I've been showing pictures of them, the phony onion picture. I don't know if you remember the where Aryeh Deri, the head of the party, used an onion to pretend he was crying when Ovadia Yosef, the head of the spiritual leader of the party, died. He pretended he couldn't. He didn't care. He wasn't really crying. So he used an onion. He was squeezing an onion to make himself cry, and I showed that in the picture. They had a film clip from the studio where he was doing that. I showed that. Tens of thousands have now seen that. Oh, has that embarrassed him. Anyway, they've kept me out of Israel, those people. It's the Shas people who are running the interior ministry and keeping me out of Israel. They probably at this point regret having started with me. But anyway, I mean, I would have been against them anyway because of what they're doing in the land of Israel, but they're keeping me out of Israel. That isn't stopping me from going after them. I'm still putting up videos with tens of thousands of views that are targeting their supporters, showing what frauds they are. The second thing that I want to speak about, if we can, on this week's program is Makat HaHoshech. Makat HaHoshech is the plague of darkness. That was a plague before the killing of the firstborn. It was one of the 10 plagues. And Makat HaHoshech, in Makat HaHoshech, for 3 days, there was Hoshech Mitzrayim, the darkness of Mitzrayim. In other words, it was complete darkness. Only for the Egyptians. In the Jewish areas, there was light, and there was no darkness. And there was just complete darkness for 3 days and 3 nights, and the Egyptians couldn't move. I mean, it was a tremendous plague and a tremendous miracle. And in Makat HaHoshech, one of the things that happened is that Hashem killed 80% of the Hebrews in Egypt. He didn't want the Egyptians to see it, because then the Egyptians would say, oh, so they're killing us, but they're also killing the Hebrews, so it's not really against us. Hashem didn't want them to see it. And so he waited for the plague of darkness so they wouldn't see the killing of 80% of the Hebrews. But 80% of the Hebrews in Egypt were killed in Makat HaHoshech. Every Hebrew that did not want to make Aliyah, that did not want to go to Israel when the time had come, was killed in that plague. Only the 20% that did want to leave survived. And many of the 20% who did want to leave were hardly saintly people. I mean, many of them were bad people too, but at least they wanted to make Aliyah. They were allowed to leave. We saw this in modern history. We saw the Jews who played it safe and stayed in Poland, where there were 3.5 million Jews and everything seemed safe, and Europe, which is modern and you have culture, and it's a modern, this is the modern continent, and nothing bad is going to happen in Europe. That's where the Jews who played it safe and stayed in Europe, the vast majority, 90% of them, were murdered in the Nazi concentration camps. Whereas the Jews who took the risk and decided to go to Israel, which was supposed to be the dangerous move at that time, and the difficult move, they survived. The plague of darkness is a plague where Hashem says to the Hebrews, you either make Aliyah or you die. That's it. When I'm telling you, you must go to the land of Israel, this is the land I intended for you, and if you don't want to live in that land, there's no reason for you to live at all. You don't deserve to be in this world. That is what Hashem is saying, in effect. I intend for you to live in the land. When the time comes for Aliyah, the time has come for Aliyah. Now, I'm not saying that people watching this should not be well prepared when they make Aliyah, but your aim in life should be Aliyah. You should be looking to Israel as your future. There is no future outside of Israel, and it is a sin to live outside of Israel for the Jewish people. Should you learn Hebrew? Should you prepare? Should you prepare to have a job and income there and make preparations for a successful Aliyah? You can make preparations. You can make it. You can be well prepared. You can do all types of things beforehand. But make no mistake about it. Your place is in Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, if you're a Jew, not in Hagalut Ha'arura, in the cursed exile. The exile is a punishment, it's a curse, and we're not allowed to live here. And that's the real story of the Holocaust, and that's the real story of Makat HaChoshech, of the plague of darkness, where 80% of the Hebrews were killed because they didn't want to make Aliyah. That just demonstrates how important it is. And I know that it, you know, we say things sometimes that are unpopular. On this program, we often say things, you often hear us say things that are unpopular. Somebody has to tell the truth. You know, the truth is such an important concept also in Judaism. We're taught that the world cannot function without the truth. If you have a world where everybody's lying, the world can't even function. You can't, for instance, have business conducted. If everybody's lying and nobody keeps their word in business, the world wouldn't function. Just think about it. If everybody only lies, and you can't trust anything anybody says, the whole world would just be complete chaos. The world couldn't function. The world would completely collapse. Everything would collapse. The economy, markets, everything, society, everything would collapse completely. The more lies there are in society, the greater you're going to have problems in society. Truth is essential to the functioning of the world in a practical sense, aside from the moral imperative to be truthful. Aside from the fact that there is a moral imperative to stand for the truth. Aside from the fact that not following the truth and not even asking what our purpose is in life. What are we doing here? Well, I mean, these are truth. I mean, we should want to know the truths. We should be searching for these truths. Why are we in this world? What are we doing? Did you ever stop for a moment and think about it? Did you ever stop for a moment and start thinking about what your purpose is in life? And so, truth is essential. And truth is usually unpopular. The truth is very unpopular. People don't want to hear the truth. People want to be lied to. You know why? It's like if you shoot an arrow to hit the target, which is the truth, right? It has to be hit in only one spot. So the truth, there's only one truth. There's only one true objective truth. But the lie, you hit the arrow, if you don't hit the arrow, if you hit the arrow in someplace else, you could hit in a million different places. A lie could be anywhere. A lie can allow you to do anything you want in life, to live any lie you want to live, to pretend anything you want to pretend. The lie has a million different ways of presenting itself, whereas the truth is only one truth. And so that one truth limits people. You have to live by that one truth that limits people, and you have to live justly and righteously and morally with that one truth. People don't want that. They want to be able to live the lie. They want to be able to have all the different manifestations of the lie. But in the end, it's something that comes back to bite you, and it's something that you wind up regretting in the end. Unfortunately, when it's too late. We're trying to bring the truth to the people in our generation. Thousands and thousands of Jews are coming to our videos every single week. We have a big advertising campaign. We're saying things that no one else says. You know how important it is that this message be brought to the people of Israel. In your heart, you know we're right. And in your guts, you know they're nuts. You know that the time has come for Jews to do what the Jewish people are commanded to do, are supposed to do, are destined to do. Sooner or later, the Jewish people will do what they're supposed to do, but we want them to get there a lot faster and with less suffering. Help us financially. The more you help us, the more money you send to us, the more we can advertise, and the more people will see our videos, and the more people will see the truth, and the more we can resist the forces of evil and the forces of injustice in Israel. And of course, if you promote our movement, that will also help us. You know, the Hebrew movement is reaching far more people and far more active than the English movement, because I spend almost all my time concentrating on the Hebrew movement, because it's so important that we reach the people of Israel. You can make a big difference. You do make a difference in this world when you help us. This is the place where you can actually make a difference in this world. And so we're going to fight for what's right. We're going to stand up for what's right. And we're going to be committed to living the life that Jews and righteous Gentiles are supposed to live. That's why we were put into this world, because every one of us has a higher calling. Every one of us has a special reason why we were put into this world. And no two people have the same reason, just like no two people have the same fingerprints, and no two people are exactly the same in their thinking or any other aspect of their lives. No two people have the same mission in life. Every single person in this world has a special calling that God has given just for them. What's your special calling? Have you thought about it? Are you interested in knowing? Don't you want to know what that calling is before you're asked someday, why didn't you live up to that calling? We can live up to that calling. We can be a great people and do great things. And if we work together, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.